This is Digital Story Podcast number 1059, July 7th, 2026. Today's theme is Bridge Cameras Are Coming Back. I'm Derek Story. Back in May, I talked about the Panasonic FZ300 and wondered out loud, where are all the new bridge cameras? Given the strides in technology, they should be more desirable than ever. Well, guess what? There's a brand new one coming down the pike, and it looks like a beauty. I'll talk about it and other industry news on today's TVS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. A lot has been going on in the world of photography while I was out of the country. Crazy how that goes, isn't it? And now that I'm back in the studio, back in Santa Rosa, California, and I'm not huddled under blankets and in a humid environment late at night in a foreign country recording a podcast, I can get a lot more done this week. I hope you enjoyed the show last week. I know it was a little bit different. I know I sounded a little bit like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, but that's what happens when you're working under those conditions. And I had a lot of fun doing it, and I hope it was enjoyable to listen to. But now we're back in the studio, and now we're back in California, and the sun is shining, and the humidity is lower. And I've had enough sleep, so all these factors are working toward a little bit more vibrancy in the podcast itself. So a lot of industry news has been going on, but the one thing that I really want to lead off with this week, and one that I'm really excited about, is the news that Sony is bringing back a new version of its RX10 bridge camera. And I'm going to read a story for you from Digital Camera World. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about how the bridge camera thing has been going for me since I got the older, the 10-year-old Panasonic FZ300 back a while ago. I think it was late April or so that I got it. Now, since that purchase of that used camera, I have used it in the Canadian Rockies to photograph wildlife and everything else, and that was a good test for it. And while I was there, I really developed a lot of trust in that camera, so much so that it became my backup body in Costa Rica, where I just returned. The main camera in Costa Rica was the Nikon ZF with the 28 to 400 millimeter lens, and it performed fantastic, and I loved using it, and it was my primary camera. But the thing about it is that it's heavy. I mean, even though that 28 to 400 is a very compact lens for its focal length, it's still a large lens, relatively speaking, and the Nikon itself is a hefty camera. So when there were times when we were walking to lunch or going to dinner at night or hanging out in the morning, something where you want to have a camera with you other than your iPhone or in addition to your iPhone, but you don't want to lug around the beast all the time. At least that's me. And there was a lot of that in Costa Rica because, you know, we would have these cabins in the jungle, but when it was time to gather or time to eat or something, then there was usually a little bit of a walk to the main area, right, where the food was served and where the people were hanging out. Along those walks, almost every time, there would be something to photograph. That's just the way it is there. Outside my front porch, the first few days in Costa Rica when we were in the lowlands, there were howler monkeys, there were macaws, there were an anteater. I mean, there was all sorts of stuff just right there. And so you really wanted to have a camera with you all the time. And that's where the bridge camera just works so well. It's light. The one that I was using has a 600 millimeter telephoto reach. It takes good pictures, very good pictures. It's just the camera for everything else when you're not doing the serious stuff. By the way, I came away with a lot of pictures from that camera that I really like. So I get home, I come back here, and I'm going through the news and I'm thinking about this week's podcast. And what is the first headline that I see is Sony is bringing the RX10 bridge camera back from the dead. And I'm going, oh my gosh, that's just craziness, right? That's just craziness. I have just been manifesting this for, you know, the last few months. Now, obviously, this has been in the works for a long time, way before I started thinking about it, but I do love the timing. So that's what we're going to start out with this week. This is an article on Digital Camera World, and let me just read you what's going on here, and they have pictures and everything. Sony is bringing its RX10 bridge camera back from the dead. New Monster Zoom CyberShot compact camera launches this week. I have a link in the show notes, so if you want to read this yourself, please do. The 1-inch camera is making an unexpected return with the new Sony RX10 launching on July 9th. Miracles do happen. We just got the news from Sony that it is reviving the RX10 line of bridge cameras, known for their huge built-in zoom lenses. And unlike other bridges currently left on the market, these use a sensibly sized 1-inch sensor, offering much better image quality than the 1/2-inch sensors of current models can possibly achieve. The 1-inch sensor is 4 times bigger than the 1/2.3-inch sensor. Sony has just teased on social media the imminent arrival of the new version of the RX10. The wait is over, we are told, with the news that we will get full details on July 9th, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. The RX10 Mark IV was discontinued in early 2025 after almost a decade in production, but even then it had been in desperately short supply. With many major manufacturers giving up on compact cameras, it was thought that was end of the line. Panasonic likewise has tapped out with the FZ1000 range of 1-inch bridge cameras a couple years earlier. So it's safe to say that the new RX10 will be called the RX10 Mark V. We can't know that for certain, as the teaser gives us no details. Similarly, we don't know the specifications, if any, will change from the Sony RX10 Mark IV, which boasted a 20-megapixel 1-inch sensor with a 25x optical zoom, giving it an effective 24 to 2,000 millimeter range. The original RX10 was launched back in 2013, and this CyberShot series became particularly popular with bird enthusiasts and wildlife watchers who wanted telephoto reach without the fuss or bulk of interchangeable lens system, but who appreciated the extra detail offered by a Type 1 1-inch sensor. The RX10 Mark II followed in 2015 with the RX10 Mark III, and RX10 Mark IV fast on its heels in 2016 and 17, respectively. We will bring you the full news of this exciting launch as soon as the details are announced on July 9th, and we'll aim to have a full test as soon after that we can. Great. So I'm just looking at the pictures here of the RX10 Mark IV, and it is a beefy boy. It's a meatball. It is bigger than my FZ300, and that makes sense because, you know, it has a bigger sensor, so the lens has to be bigger, all that kind of stuff. However, now having tasted the sweet fruits of a bridge camera in the modern age, when we have software to help make up for the smaller sensor size, depending on what Sony does with it, really could be a legitimate backup camera. Or like I said, when you just want to have a nice walk-around camera with a Zeiss lens and a crazy focal length reach, this camera could be a winner. Now, here's what I think will be the possible fly in the ointment on this. I have a feeling it's going to be pricey. I do. I honestly think that it's not going to be at the price that I want or possibly that you want either. We'll have to wait and see on that. We're not going to have to wait too long because you're probably listening to this podcast on the 7th. That means on Thursday, just a couple days later, we will find out the details. Either way, there's two things that I want with this camera. First of all, I really do want it to be popular. I want Sony to sell a whole bunch of them and get them back out into the market. And then that will also help incentivize other manufacturers to possibly come out with their own versions of these long reach bridge cameras. They are just so handy when you're out doing the kind of things that I've been doing over the last couple months. And I just can't imagine life without having that camera, the bridge camera in my bag, to accompany either the Nikon or the OM system camera that I'm using as my primary camera. More to be revealed this week, and I may follow up, depending on how good the news is, with this next week. Lightroom Classic 15.4 adds a duplicate finder and smarter group culling. This is an article on fstoppers.com, and I have a link in the show notes. This is pretty interesting, I have to say, having just gone through a whole bunch of pictures myself. Let's see what fstoppers has to say here. Lightroom Classic 15.4 shipped with a duplicate finder, improved AI masking, and smarter culling tools. And at least a few of these updates will change how you manage and edit images day to day. If your library has grown to tens of thousands of files, one of these features alone is worth knowing about. Coming to you from Anthony Morganti, this practical video walks through the most useful updates in Lightroom Classic 15.4. Morganti is upfront that nothing here is earth-shattering, but a few things that are generally useful. The biggest improvement is to subject and background masking. The AI handles masking has gotten noticeably better at dealing with difficult edges, things like flyaway hair or thin spokes on a bicycle wheel, which used to cause visible errors. Morganti demonstrates both cases side by side, and the results around complex edges are cleaner than with older versions of the software could produce. He also shows how the same improvement carries over to background masking, since both features share the same underlying technology. The assisted culling update is the other change event shooters will notice immediately. Lightroom Classic can now detect closed eyes on people within group shots, which was a consistent weak point in earlier versions. Morganti tests this against his own family photos and group event images, and the feature correctly flags subjects with closed eyes, downcast eyes, or obscured eyes due to sunglasses. It isn't perfect in every frame, but it catches the clear misses that previously slipped through. If you regularly shoot events, weddings, or any situation where you're sorting through large sets of group images, this saves real time in the culling process. The AI filter in the metadata panel is a smarter but useful addition. You can now search your library for images where AI tools were applied, including general AI edits, AI masking specifically, generative AI removal, and edits that may need an AI update. Morganti demonstrates this by filtering a collection and identifying which images had background masking applied and which had objects removed using the generative remove tool. It is a straightforward way to audit what's been done across a large library, especially if you've been using these tools across multiple sessions and lost track of which files were touched. And finally, the duplicate finder is a feature Morganti calls the biggest addition in this release, and he walks through how it works in a library of over 11,000 files. Rather than matching by file name, it compares actual pixel data, which means it can catch duplicates even when the files have been renamed. The video covers how to access the tool, how duplicates are grouped into stacks, and how the removal process works, including what the warning prompt tells you before anything gets deleted. Watch the video, which is included in the article that I'm talking about, for a full walkthrough from Morganti. All right, sounds like a nice update from Lightroom. Some pretty cool tools here. I heard people talking about at the workshop about the new AI masking and its improvements. Great news for Lightroom Classic users. Speaking of Adobe, another thing that happened while I was gone, Adobe upscales its AI capabilities with Topaz Labs acquisition. This is on DP Review. I have a link in the show notes. Adobe is acquiring Topaz Labs, the company behind the widely used image and video enhancement tools, including Topaz Photo, Topaz Video, and Topaz Gigapixel. The announcement follows a previous partnership between the two companies unveiled at Adobe MAX in October 2025. At the time, Adobe integrated some of Topaz's popular upscale, denoise, and sharpen modes directly into Photoshop, providing access to the tools using Adobe's AI credits rather than a separate paid subscription for each app. Topaz Gigapixel was also added to the cloud-based version of Lightroom in February 2026. With the acquisition, Adobe says it plans to expand Topaz's AI enhancement models, which include upscaling, noise removal, sharpening, stabilization, frame interpolation, and footage restoration across its Firefly AI generation software, Firefly Services, and Creative Cloud products. Adobe also highlighted the integration of Topaz's proprietary NeuralStream technology, which enables large AI models to run locally on consumer hardware rather than requiring cloud processing. What this means for existing Topaz customers isn't totally clear. Adobe says Topaz products will continue to be available as standalone offerings through Topaz's own website after the deal closes, and that Topaz Labs CEO Eric Yang will remain with the company. It adds that customers can expect continued support and investment in future innovation. However, the announcement makes no mention of pricing, subscription structure, or how Topaz's tools will be positioned relative to Creative Cloud subscriptions going forward. The transition is expected to close the second half of 2026, pending regulatory approval. Adobe muscling up on its AI capabilities. They picked a good one with Topaz. Here's an interesting note that I received actually today from Panasonic. As you may recall, I ordered the Panasonic Lumix L10. The model that I wanted was the titanium gold, the special edition of the camera, and in order to get it, I had to order it from the Panasonic site. That was not so bad. Panasonic made it fairly easy to place the order there, and you do get a 4-year extended warranty when you buy on the Panasonic site. So I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. And since it's the only way to get the L10 special edition, so be it. They accepted my order and then they charged my credit card a little bit before I left for Costa Rica. And then honestly, I was expecting the camera to be here when I returned from Costa Rica. Some people who got their cameras from B&H, for example, such as my co-editor on LiveView, Michael Alford, already has his camera. He actually had it before I left for Costa Rica and was telling me how much he thinks I'm going to like it, which is sweet of him, but I didn't have the camera in my hands. So I get home and still no camera, still no ship date. I send a note off to Panasonic just asking for an update, and they said that there has been a bit of a delay and they will keep me posted. So today I received this and I thought it would be interesting Here's what they had to say. Thank you for choosing the Panasonic Lumix L10 Titanium Gold, and thank you for your continued patience and understanding. We wanted to personally provide you with an update regarding your order. During our final quality assurance inspections, our team identified a minor cosmetic detail that did not fully meet Panasonic's rigorous quality standards. Although the issue is small, we believe every customer deserves to receive a product that reflects the premium craftsmanship and reliability you expect from Panasonic. As a result, we have temporarily paused shipments of the Lumix L10 Titanium Gold while our production team completes final refinements to ensure every unit is delivered in the exceptional condition you deserve. We sincerely apologize for this unexpected delay and understand how disappointing it is to wait for a product you have been looking forward to receiving. And, in quotes, I will add, and have paid for in full. The good news is that these enhancements are already underway, and we are excited to share that your order is expected to ship mid-July. While we know this is later than originally anticipated, we are confident the extra time invested will ensure your Lumix L10 arrives ready to provide the outstanding experience it was designed to deliver. At Panasonic, quality has always been our highest priority, and we never want to compromise the experience our customers have from the moment they open the box. As soon as your order ships, you will automatically receive a shipping confirmation email with the tracking information. We truly appreciate your patience, support, and the trust you have placed in Panasonic. We are excited for you to experience your new Lumix L10T and are confident it will be worth the wait. All right, and that was from the Panasonic customer experience team. Well, first thing I will say is that whoever wrote this did a very nice job. It's a well-crafted note. Obviously, they're delivering bad news, but they make it sound like good news because apparently there was some sort of flaw with the camera they identified, and they are fixing it before they send it to us, which, honestly, that is a good thing. So there will be no reports on the L10 Titanium for a bit while we wait for them to polish it and make sure that it is beautifully perfect before they send it to me. I'll keep you posted. Let's take care of a little Virtual Camera Club news. I want to mention our Lightroom Power 2's online workshop coming on September 9th, running through September 30th, 2026, led by Rob Knight. I was just watching Rob do his thing in lab with Lightroom users in Costa Rica, and I can tell you, if you're using Lightroom Classic and you want to get better at it, you want to take advantage of the editing tools that are so powerful, this workshop is for you. You can sign up in the usual spot on our workshops page at thenimblephotographer.com or click on workshops at thedigitalstory.com. Each week, you will learn new techniques. Each week, you will expand your capabilities, and I think you'll have a great time doing it. I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support our podcast week in and week out. I had a good time visiting with them, of course, in Costa Rica. It's so great to hang out with Inner Circle members. And it's good to come home to them and seeing what's been going on the website. These folks are terrific. They're helpful. They share information. They produce great pictures, and they're just a joy to hang out with. If you want to join us in the Inner Circle, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. Sign up there, and the next thing you know, you'll be hearing from me, and I'll get you all fixed up with the benefits that Inner Circle membership brings. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. I also want to acknowledge our good friends at Red River Paper, longest-running sponsor of The Digital Story. One thing that I thought was interesting at the workshop, when we were doing class presentations and a really good image would come up on the screen, interesting how often people say, you've got to print that. You've got to make a print and put it on the wall. I love that saying because that means that that's like the ultimate acknowledgement of a great photograph. To make a nice big print of it, put it on the wall, and share it with the world. And that's what Red River Paper, that's their goal. Their goal is to make that as easy as possible for you so that you can share your images with the world with no electronic devices required. It's a beautiful piece of paper, archive quality most of the time, and it just lives on and on and on, no devices required to enjoy it. If you want to learn more about making great fine art prints for yourself, click on the Red River Paper tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story. Nose around a bit, get yourself some paper, and make some beautiful artwork. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. More great stuff next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.